Alyssa Aldman is a James Beard award-winning writer whose new book marries wit to warmth and flavor to passion. Born and raised in New York to a food-phobic mother and a food-fanatical father, Alyssa was trained early on that fancy is always best. In fact, she devoted her life to all things gastronomical. But love does strange things to people, and when Alyssa met Susan, a small-town Connecticut Yankee with a devotion to simple living, it would change Alyssa's relationship with food and the people who taught her about it forever. Her new book, Poor Man's Feast, is a tale of finding sustenance and peace in a world of excess and inauthenticity. Again, the name of the book is Poor Man's Feast. It's published by Chronicle, and it's a pleasure to welcome Alyssa Aldman to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is a delight. What got you writing about, I mean, obviously, as I mentioned in the introduction, this has been such a part of your life, but what got you writing about it, especially writing on a blog about food and about our collective relationship to it?
Well, back in 2008, I'd been writing a lot of articles for different food publications about food in all of its guises. I was a restaurant critic for a while, and it seemed to me that that food had sort of taken a place in our culture that elevated it to more than sustenance. I mean, it became food became sort of entertainment. I mean, we've got the Food Network. It's ubiquitous. It's everywhere, and I don't mean it's everywhere just because we all eat. We all must eat. You know, we all know, the fancy mall food stores, the cookware stores that we get catalogs for,
right.
And so it's everywhere. And in 2008, I just really sort of plunked myself down and started writing about, not about restaurants and not about even recipes so much. I mean, I do have recipes on my blog, but I don't post them with every post. I wanted to start a sort of conversation, a narrative about what food meant to me personally, in my family, and I was hoping to begin a conversation with my readers about the place that it held for them in their lives as well, and that's really what happened. And so as a natural outgrowth of that, all these years later, 4 or 5 years later, the book just seemed to kind of blossom organically, as it were.
So if I'm, and I'm going to oversimplify what you just said, and then you correct me, okay? So
sure.
You, as I indicated in the introduction, you have this very strong relationship with food and with quote unquote good food, and you have this relationship, and then that relationship changes. And if there is a subtext to the story and the journey and the dialogue you want to have is that it's possible for it to change for the rest of us as well.
That's correct. I do really believe that. I mean, I feel like life, whoever we are and wherever we live and however we live, life is complicated, and we are bombarded by food messages constantly, and this is healthy and this is not, and this is fancy and this is not. You should be eating this way and not that way. And what I learned, certainly after meeting my partner, to whom I'm now married, if your ingredients are simple and of the best quality that you can afford and you don't dither with them in service to trend, you will eat very, very well and you will feed your family very well and you will start to probably think of life, living a more simple life as the way to go. I mean, fancy complicates everything.
By the way, I think you're the only guest who has ever said dither on the program, and I congratulate you on that.
Thank you so much.
To dither with them and to dither with them and to do that because it's trendy to do that. And what do you think it is about us as a culture and as a gastronomical culture that that is so enticing?
Well, you know, I think that, I think that first of all, I mean, as I said, food as entertainment is ubiquitous. It's everywhere. You know, we live in a society that is glued to food TV, but very few people actually cook. And when we do cook, I think that the concept of fancy, and we all know fancy food when we see it, very often it's very tall and you kind of have to knock it over before you eat it. We've all been there. Fancy is, in my opinion, a cloak that hides a sort of lurking collective insecurity. It could be financial insecurity or an emotional insecurity or social insecurity. And so, you know, by social, I mean we'll feel better about ourselves if we believe we'll feel better about ourselves if we shoehorn ourselves into these kinds of outfits or we eat these kinds of foods or we can only be seen at this table in this restaurant, you know, with this reservation. And so at that point, food begins to lose its importance and its place as sustenance. And it just becomes a way to climb a social ladder.
You know, what I'm about to say is probably, I mean, to some will be heresy, but I just find it, I have this very blanket philosophy that I know may be perceived by some to be closed-minded. But that is, look, if when we talk about food trends, if it were really good and it were really sustainable, we would have done it a long time ago. And,
right.
And meaning that cauliflower is pretty good, you know, in and of itself. I mean, you may not like it, or just take broccoli, whatever it is. And then that in and of itself is good, that we don't need to then, and I'm sure there's a better term than one I'm going to use, which is screw around with it, and then try to alter it. I mean, I understand taking it to a, making it an art and looking at the culinary arts, but your point of taking the simple ingredients and bringing it down a notch and just recognizing and celebrating those is a really interesting and, in some cases, novel idea because it brings back simplicity. It's baseline.
That's exactly right. I mean, you hit the nail right on the head. And I think that at a certain point, and I want to say it was probably in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s, mid 80s, you know, we decided as a culture that it was going to be a smart thing to try and replicate restaurant food in the confines of our own homes. And, you know, those folks are professionals, and they use foamers and they use kitchen blowtorches and that's fine because that's their job. That's what they're, you know, and that's why they get to charge things like, you know, $25 for a plate of steamed vegetables. That's what they do. But when you live in a home where or you know, you live in a society where people don't know how to make a basic fried egg or a basic poached egg or they don't know how to cook a piece of salmon correctly, but they'll go to the local mall store and buy, you know, a kitchen blowtorch. Something's seriously, seriously wrong. And you know, what I would urge people to do is, you know, go out to your local farmer's market, make friends with your farmer, you know, make friends with your local purveyor, and buy the very best broccoli that you can afford. I mean, I had this game-changing experience last year, where I had never had broccoli cut fresh from the garden before, and it was not my garden, but it was somebody else's garden, and I brought it home and steamed it, and it was the most extraordinary thing one of the most extraordinary things I'd ever tasted. And that's the kind of thing that I would love people to get back to. And it took me a very long time to get back to that place, to get to that place at all. But I'm very happy that I have.
Maybe it's petty, and I apologize for this, but I have to say that in making a dessert, when you take very simple sugar and take it over the top of it and use that blowtorch, it is awesome.
It is absolutely awesome. But you know what?
I mean, I employ that in my kitchen. I have to say, of the blowtorch.
But I'm guessing if you use that as an example, you probably know how to poach an egg.
I do. Well, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I understand your point. So when you think about, as you identify it, a poor man's feast, for what does that mean for us? What does that mean for our culture and society of how we should employ that?
Well, you know, I think of certainly poor man's feast is, you know, the idiomatic expression,
of course,
meaning, you know, finding sustenance in the most simple of dishes, in the most simple of ways. And you know, I always refer to this great scene at the very beginning of the movie Il Postino, where mm-hmm. the postman and I think it's his father are sitting down together slurping soup, and they're in this tiny, you know, this little house, and they're slurping soup, and that's the whole scene, and it's a powerfully binding emotional scene, and watching them, you know, we witness a true poor man's feast, and who among us, you know, hasn't done that? And what it means to me is that, you know, eating elementally is a fundamental universal construct, and we all do it, and it's something that can unify and bind us. So you know, amidst the craziness of the world, and you know, we're all running around like chickens without heads, and being pulled from pillar to post, you know, with holding down one job or two jobs, and just finding that time to sit down at the table with something as basic as a bowl of soup that you've created with some focus and some love is a great way to level the playing field.
And I love the point that you make, because you can't improve on just a strawberry or just a poached egg. With just water and an egg and just a strawberry that is washed and used, I mean, that's doesn't get much better than that.
That's absolutely right. And you know, we live in a place right now. I'm actually out in Berkeley, California right now. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, we went out to the wonderful Monterey Market, which is a great supermarket here in Berkeley, and there were just walls. And obviously, I mean, this is a seasonal issue and it's a regional issue. There were walls of fresh mushrooms and not hugely expensive, not really expensive at all. And in-season produce, and we sort of bought what we could last night and brought it back to my friend's house and just sort of steamed vegetables and drizzled it with a little bit of really, really excellent olive oil. And it was extraordinary, and you can't beat something like that. And I think that if we'd had this conversation, you know, 10 years ago, I probably would have said, I went to the most extraordinary restaurant, and the food was fancy, and everything was fancy, and there are wonderful, extraordinary restaurants everywhere, and chefs in America do amazing, amazing things. But when you're cooking for yourself and you're cooking for the people you love, it's really, I think, really key to keep it simple and seasonal and local and fresh, and you really can't go wrong, and generally it's not that expensive.
I love this book. I love this subject. And you can read more. Alyssa Allman's new book is Poor Man's Feast. It is published by Chronicle. Alyssa, thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, too.
Been a delight. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.